Thanks for joining us on this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more content and to stay connected with us, make sure to visit our social media pages at Freedom Gateway Center and freedomgatewaycenter.com.
So we are in this series called In Love, and today I want to speak about having power in love. But before I do, I just want to speak from my heart a little bit. You know, yesterday I heard, as I was preparing for today, I felt like the Lord really had put into my heart, had spoken the Father's house. The Father's house is the name of a song that you just heard there momentarily. We played just a brief portion of it, and the words, I feel, are so important for us to capture, because it is really intentional that the Lord really wants to call us into his love so powerfully in this moment, because what we're about to be prepared for requires that we be postured and positioned in his love, in his love. And there's been a potent attack upon the body of Christ universally in the understanding of God's love for us. And, you know, we've really throughout the entire world, this whole COVID thing and everything else has been a tremendous attack upon the church of Jesus Christ. And it's caused people to be a little bit pushed back and just like, does the Lord even love me? What is going on? And have I fallen from grace? Have I fallen from the favor of the Lord? And the Lord has continually been speaking the affirmation of his love, but it's just, it is critical that we understand in this moment, right now, how much the Father loves us. And so these lyrics, I think, are important to even connect with. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness becomes a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over. My story's just begun. And failure won't define me, because that's what the Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, because that's what my Father does. Then lay your burdens down here in the Father's house. And so the Lord really wants us to recognize that we're in a place to really receive of the Father's love and press intently into that place, because it will be what sustains us in the days ahead. I believe that we're in for even more intense chatter and difficulty in the second heaven. Y'all know about the first and second and third heaven. Third heaven is the heaven that is God's throne. It is the place of the angelic. It is the place of God. The second heaven is the place where activity in the spiritual realm takes place, the demonic as well as the angelic. And of course, the first heaven relates to what we experience around us in the natural, in the first heaven. So there's a lot of chatter that is going on, but I just believe that we are needing to really posture our hearts in the knowledge of God's love. He is watching over you and watching over us, and we need to really press into that reality, even when our circumstances seem to tell us that that's not true. And I know that that's going on. It's going on in people's lives. It's gone on in my life. What the Lord spoke to me, I am faithful to my promises. He is speaking directly to me as well as to you. So it's super important that we realize and that we walk in the power of his love. And if we'll walk in the power of his love, then we'll be able to be the people who walk in power, in love. So let's just speak to that. In 2 Timothy, it says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid." It doesn't make us timid. It emboldens us. Now, I know that some of us have been experiencing the attack on our lives, and for some, it has produced a sense of anxiety, a sense of fear, a sense of intimidation to cause us to become timid. And what I know is that I had this happen earlier this week. I mean, we had this profound day last Sunday, just the power of God coming into the house so powerfully in such such great power, and yet on Monday, the enemy is chattering in my ear, and I'm just being intimidated, and I'll just tell you the truth, and I finally went, "No, I am strong and I am courageous." And you know, as soon as I began to say that, my heart shifted, and I began to, you know, walk with a different sense of deportment and power. And I believe that that's where we are. We are going to need to position ourselves to recognize that as a Joshua generation, we are called to be strong and courageous. And so anyway, back to 2 Timothy, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline," from the NIV. The Passion Translation says, "For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control." Mighty power. The word there that is translated power is the Greek word dunamis. Some of you know about dunamis. Dunamis speaks of that which has the ability as force to produce outcome. It is forceful. Literally, that's what it means, but figuratively, it actually speaks of the miraculous power of the supernatural. We're talking about power that goes beyond that which is natural. We're talking about being empowered to see life on a level that is not limited and is not defined by the natural circumstances. That's what you and I have been called to. That's what Tammy was testifying to earlier. And so there is a great power available in love for us to walk in this time. Now, as the church, many of you are aware of this by now, that the church, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. The ecclesia is actually patterned after. Jesus was talking about, the first time he spoke of it was in Matthew 16, and he was asking Peter, "Who do the people say I am?" And then he goes on to say, "Upon the revelation of who I am, the reality of who I am, I will build my church." The word there is ecclesia. "I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her." The gates of hell. Gates speak of places of authority, places of governing. And so where the demonic or darkness has sought to bring its dimension of rule, the Lord says it will not be able to continue in that, because I'm saying that my church, my ecclesia, will rule and reign in the spirit, and those gates that are being occupied by the demonic will not have the ability to be successful. Amen. Now you may say, "Well, gosh, it sure looks like they're successful." And I think I know what you mean. There is a lot going on, but I want you to know that God has empowered us. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Deborah said, you've got to use this scripture. It's from the Passion Translation. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Woo! Some of you need wilder imaginations. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive, Lord, the positioning of our hearts, Lord, to receive from you the power and love and self-discipline that you make available to us by Holy Spirit that lives in us as those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. You know, when we were spending time with Mark, and by the way, when Mark and Ann came, you know, they really said, because we had said, we really feel like the Lord is calling us not to do conferences as we had been for this season. And actually, Deborah was interacting with that just prophetically towards the end of last year. And so, you know, Mark and Ann just said, you know, we just really want to come and just be a strength and an encouragement to you guys, to Deborah and I personally, because of the relationship that we have as members of his apostolic ministry. So when he came, we really felt like we knew that, of course, Ann is such an intercessor. We really wanted to see the opportunity for the body to experience the blessing of being encouraged in prayer, because that is so key to what the Lord is doing. God is raising up a prayer movement in the body of Christ worldwide that is unparalleled. Unparalleled. It's greater than has ever existed before. The power that we're experiencing in prayer here is more powerful than we have ever experienced before. So I want to just encourage anyone who's not gotten in on that, jump in and just sit. And just be in the atmosphere and just allow grace to flow in your heart if you are wanting to bring your amen and your yes to what we are praying. So there has just been a tremendous move of the Spirit in prayer, and so we wanted you to experience that. But when Mark and Ann were here, one of the things that they commented about was they said, your people are with you. He said, your people, I mean, I've never seen such unity as what we saw this time. He's been here how many times? 4 or 5 times now? And he said, I've never seen, you are positioned so strong. And he said, and what took place last Sunday? He says, honestly, we're just not seeing that as much as we would like to see it. We just, you know, what we were seeing, Ann said, you know, the power of the Spirit in the house was so powerful last week. It reminded me of the days of revival revival that were taking place when Toronto was really stirred up and what was going on. So just such a powerful move. And there is greater power that the Lord wants to release in love upon his church. And so that's what we are longing for, and that's what we know is promised. And so we agree, Lord, we agree with what your promises are. But I am convinced beyond any doubt that the time that we are living in is pivotal to our spiritual condition as a nation and the purposes of God in revealing his kingdom rule in the earth. This time is a time that is pivotal, and it is time for the ecclesia to step into the fullness of what he is speaking. And so Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8 speak to this. Be strong. I spoke about this. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the teaching of my servant Jesus. I took some liberty there. But, you know, remember, Deuteronomy, Moses himself said, there is one coming who is a prophet who you must listen to. We're in that dispensation, so we're not listening to Moses. Amen. We listen. It was the word of God, but we're in a different covenant time. So be strong and very courageous. Be careful to be obedient to the teaching of Jesus. And do not turn from it. Don't turn from the teaching of the Lord. Don't turn from kingdom teaching to the right or to the left. Hear that politically. Okay? Hear that politically. We are not, as kingdom people, there are people who are called in the church to be active in political parties. And I don't mean that that's inappropriate. You need to do what the Lord is leading you to do. But as the people of God, we are not to be partisans. We are to be people of the kingdom. And therefore, what informs what we do is what the Word of God is teaching, what Jesus is teaching us. And so that's where we are. So we are not people of party, people of separation. We're people who want to call all people into the common good that is available in the kingdom of God. Amen? So if you do this, you will be successful wherever you go, is what God is speaking. Well, we are this Joshua generation. We're living in a time, you know, Joshua, keep in mind, Joshua was sent into the land to occupy land of promise that God had given. And in occupying that land, God had said it was given to Israel. But how many of you know they had to war for it? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Some people stopped at "we wrestle not." But the reality is we wrestle against darkness. We wrestle against spirits that want to bring a reality to our lives that is not kingdom. And so we are in this season called to rise up as the ecclesia to be who we have been called to be. And that's who you and I are called to be. We will be strong. We will be courageous. And we will be obedient to Jesus. So in speaking to you today, there's three main ideas that I want you to really catch. Number one, I want you to understand that we are loved of God despite the shaking that is taking place. That love is so important for you to walk in this season, because it is how you will be anchored for what we're about to come into. We're about to come into some challenging days. I'm not speaking that purely by my own discernment. I do believe that there is a measure of recognition of that prophetically in my own life, but I'm hearing other prophets speaking that, and I do believe that even though it's being spoken, I don't believe that's a spiritual reality. I believe we're called to a higher reality and to proclaim that and to declare that, and that's what the ecclesia will do. The ecclesia is called to actually legislate the government of heaven in the earth, and so that's what we're called to do. So there's a shaking going on, but we have to be postured in his love. Two, God is shaking so that the desired of the nations will come in. You see, the purpose of this time, the purpose that God has in this time is so that there might be a great harvest of souls. Now, this great harvest of souls is occurring in a time of shaking. And then finally, we must recognize, number three, that we're called to arise as a Joshua generation to advance righteousness through kingdom rule as the ecclesia. So, number one, You are loved despite the shaking. Haggai 2:7 in the Amplified says this, and I will shake all nations, and the desire and the precious things of all nations shall come in and will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. How about that for a promise? I'm telling you that as things are shaking, the shaking is so that there might come a great release of the desire of the nations. The desired of the nations. The desired of the nations are that which the desire of the Lord is going to experience. The Lord is after his inheritance. He wants his inheritance to come in. These are the treasures of the nations. And in addition to that, there will be treasures that will come in. I believe there is natural wealth that will even come into the house of God during this time. But this is love at work in power. This is what we're talking about. So we're experiencing a lot of stress. I saw someone had posted, someone related to the ministry said, I see stress and exhaustion and being tired is common today. If you're experiencing that, pray for me too. Because I'm going to pray for you and pray for me too. So it's going on. There's a lot of chatter. And I'm here to tell you that God has promised that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. So we are in a time to press into relationship. And it's not just a verse a day will keep the devil away. It's about pressing into the Word. It's really getting into the Word. You know, when I was down with my back, the Lord had me right where I needed to be, because I was receiving from the Lord. I had my earbuds in and I was listening to Scripture almost all the time. Just letting it come in, and just, we need to be living in the Word. And so I'm here to tell you that he wants us to posture ourselves so that we're hearing his Word. We're listening to his Word. We're keeping ourselves immersed, and so that we can increase in our devotion and in our prayer. So I just believe that that is so crucial. Would you just stand with me for a moment? And I'm just gonna pray over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release right now to every person in this room and to every person within the sound of my voice through the internet, I release right now, Lord, the weighty presence of the Father's love. Right now, come Holy Spirit, just release the Father's love. Release the Father's love to every single heart. Let every heart arise in the knowledge of the great love that the Father has for you. You are his special one. You are his special one. The singular one he loves and he gave his life for. And he will not allow anything to happen to you. So receive his love right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release your spirit of love over your church, Lord, that every heart would receive your great love, Lord. And in receiving that, Lord, it would empower their hearts in confidence, in faith, and in power, Lord, for all that you have for us in the coming days. Lord, we receive it from you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. So, we are in this Elijah moment in our history. You know, Elijah was one who confronted Israel, didn't he? Elijah was a prophet of God. He confronted Israel, and he said Israel, rarely did they go wholly abandoned into false worship. What they did was they still worshiped Yahweh, but they brought in the other gods of the nations. Yeah, they brought in the other gods. So there was mixture. So there wasn't purity. And of course, you know, God is a jealous God. Why is he jealous? Not for himself. He's jealous for his people because he does not want us to experience a quality of life that is not what he has destined us for. And so he's jealous for us. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. I was talking with Maureen earlier, you know, and I was talking about the fact that, you know, we have a lot of gods that are worshipped, and it cuts us off in this world from what the Lord really wants to release in blessing over his people. And Maureen had said, you know, I think one of the things is our independence. We're so independent. And I believe that is a false god. I believe it's been exalted in a wrong way, in a way that was not intended for this nation. We bit the scandal on, if you will. We bit the trap. And we came into something that actually has produced real serious negative outcomes. But anytime we buy into a lie, then the result is that our lives take on the result. So a story comes to mind. Our son is a chiropractor, and he's a powerful, very good, excellent chiropractor. But he went through a period where he didn't believe that about himself. And so we would try to minister our confidence and our belief and our faith in him and just what the Lord was speaking about him. But honestly, he just wasn't having it. Sound like any of us? You know, he just wasn't having it. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. He tried, but at the end of the day, he wouldn't walk in it. Well, about a year ago, he went off and received some ministry from others that frankly spoke to where he was, and it shifted his heart and his consciousness so that an entirely different outcome is flowing out of his life now because of a shift. But I want you to know that everything that existed before that took place was the same. The only thing that changed was his consciousness and what he believed about himself and what he was speaking out of his mouth to what Jenny was saying at the call. Jenny was speaking about life and death are in the power of what we're speaking. So what are we speaking? What are we releasing? So I just believe that the power of God is available for us to move into the fullness of what the Lord has destined for us as a nation and as the church in this nation. This nation was established in its origin, similar to Israel, as a nation dedicated to God. You know, when the pilgrims were arriving in Massachusetts back in 1620, one of the things that they had written down was this: having undertaken a voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. It's what the pilgrims were all about, for the advancement of the Christian faith. About 20 years later, there was Jonathan Winthrop, who was a English Puritan lawyer, who was leading the second major settlement in New England after the Plymouth Colony. It was known as the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And Winthrop served as the governor over that, and he was very influential in that colony and in other colonies. But the whole idea was that the idea that this was to be a city upon a hill, even as Jesus spoke about, you are a city on a hill. Those who believe and are moving in faith and walking in the teachings of Jesus Christ, you are a city on a hill. And so he led 700 Puritans in Massachusetts in 1631, and he said this: others may come to the New World for wealth and furs. You know, that was actually the founding of Detroit. Detroit was founded by Cadillac, and Cadillac was a fur trader, and he had made arrangements. He's a bit of a scoundrel, actually, and he made a deal with France for trade, but it was so that he might become rich. So this is what Winthrop is saying. Others may come to the New World for wealth and furs, he said, but we have another goal, another end. We have entered into an explicit covenant with God to be his people in this new world. So they wanted the entire colony and all of that which came forth to be a model for Christianity for the rest of the world. And it's interesting because political scientists now have gone back and actually viewed the documents that the founders had written concerning the establishment of this nation. And they wanted to discover what ideas were most influential in promoting the understanding that the founders had in relationship to this nation that was being established. And what they discovered was there were different key individuals, thinkers at that time, philosophers and so forth at that time, but the overwhelming majority of the influence on the political writings after they had extracted 3,154 different quotes from founders' writings, they discovered that the Word of God was the number one source. 34% of all those quotes actually come from the influence of Scripture that formed their thinking in relationship to establishing this nation. So we were established upon godly roots. We have a covenant with God, a moral grounding. And recently, we've had a political party who had two major subgroups within that political party have a convening of their caucus wherein they began their caucus by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. In these two caucuses, they very purposefully did not include two words. Those two words were under God. Under God. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God. Those words were actually added in 1959 to the Pledge of Allegiance. They were added because a congressman and a senator from Michigan introduced laws in the House and in the Senate that was passed and signed by President Eisenhower that those words would be added because President Eisenhower had said, you know, this pledge without the words under God does not distinguish us from any other nation, and even the very nations that oppose us in the world, which are communist. Under God is key. So there is a movement afoot by darkness to promote values that are ungodly and disconnect us from the reality of being a people who are postured under God. Well, in Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, we're to call on the Lord while he may be found. In verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, which is why we have to seek him. Because if we just go according to our own ways, you know, the scripture tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. They separate us from the very life that God intends for us. So Elijah recognized that Israel was in this place where they needed to make a decision. And in the Message translation, I like the way it's translated, Elijah challenged the people. How long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. If it is Baal, follow him. Make up your minds. So Elijah said that, and it says after that, nobody said anything. Well, God spoke after that, right? So that's we're in this Elijah moment, and that's exactly where we are. So in the church, it's really important that we be leading the turn back to godliness. That we ourselves recognize that we are called to recognize, have I bought into impurity? Have I bought into sin that is displeasing to you, Lord? The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. He will never leave us or forsake us. But if we have that which is unseemly in our lives, it allows the enemy a greater access to oppress. And that's not God's intention for us. He's calling us up that we would live above the fray and that we would live above the influence of those issues. Amen? So as the people of God, we're not to become the surrogates of political parties on either side. And I mean that, and it's easy for me to become political. I'll just be honest with you. But that's not the issue. The issue are the policies that relate to godliness. And there are policies that are being placed before the people of this nation that we must understand and recognize is an opportunity for us to discover how we will use the rights that we have been given by God to influence what kind of government we will have. So it is a very important time. But we are not to become involved in cursing people. And I'm just telling you, that's what you see so much of in the social media context and so forth. Don't take the bait. I know sometimes it's tough. You want to get into argumentation. You want to get into rhetorical conversations. Don't do it. Stand for righteousness. Speak the truth in love. But don't become inflamed by something that is not God. I want you to be inflamed with love for God's word and God's power that is working in you. So we must renounce any connection with anything that is not of the Lord in our lives. We need absolutely to be in agreement with the God of the Bible and not the gods of the nations. Amen? So then finally, the third thing I want to talk about briefly is that we are a Joshua generation. So this is love at work in power. A credible prophet has recently spoken that the Lord had spoken to him that the enemy's desire, this is what the Lord had spoken, the enemy's desire is that we would not be free any longer. That we would be under control, and that the Lord has said we are not to hand that freedom over. So I will just declare that as a prophetic word of the Lord. I believe we are not to hand that freedom over. I believe that in the Father's timeline, as of the end of this month, we have to be postured in knowing the favor that we walk in under the Lord. And I believe that we will begin to continue to see a raging in the nations and in our nation over the next couple of months. And I believe it'll be so challenging. Some will think it's judgment come upon us or come upon even our own lives as believers, but I want you to know that's not what is happening. God is judging ungodliness, but he loves his people, and he's calling his people like never before to a place of walking in the power of God in love. walking in the understanding that there is a energizing of his spirit that we are to partake of. And I believe that we are coming into this time where we have to pray. And these are three things that I would have you understand. Number one, we must pray that righteousness reigns. We must proclaim it. We must declare it. We must ask the Lord to release it. But righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. God, we're asking for righteousness to reign in this nation. Secondly, we need to be praying that evil is exposed and cut off. You have an authority in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, when Jesus said, "The gates of hell will not prevail," he said, whatever you bind is bound, and whatever is loosed is loosed. You have authority as the ecclesia to bind and to loose, and we need to understand that reality. And then thirdly, we have to tell evil spirits constantly that you will not get your way on my watch. Each of us are called to be watchmen. We're called to watch and pray. That means you look and you see what is the enemy releasing in the atmosphere, and we're coming against that. I come against that spirit of darkness that is seeking to produce whatever. Come on. We are coming against evil spirits constantly, and I just believe that every Christian, every believer is called to be the effective ecclesia that says, "Not on my watch. Not on my watch. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So this is love at work in power. So in verse 9 of Joshua, it says this. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We're called to bring the power, the miraculous force of heaven into the earth. Our mode of operation is the love of God. God loves us, and he loves every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of his love and the knowledge of his salvation. So as the church, as the ecclesia, we are called to be a governing body in the earth. Our purpose is to seek to bring reconnection between heaven and earth. Lord, let your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. We are called to speak and legislate as the people of God those things that God desires for us. So, this is love at work in power. Are you willing to be the ecclesia? I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to declare it if you are in agreement. And if you're in agreement, after I read it, I'll ask those of you who can agree with this to stand with me, and we will declare it in the heavenlies. And I want you to do that online as well. Your power, the power of your words, the power of the spoken word has real impact. You were given a body. You're not just spirit. You were given a body that you might occupy this land, that you might declare forth his praises and his word. So, here it is. "I am a son or daughter of God through Jesus Christ, my King. I live my life unto God and under his authority. I am fitly joined to the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus that brings destiny to the world and all who follow Jesus and are led by Holy Spirit. I declare today that the United States is called to be a nation under God. We renounce any proclamation that we are any other nation than one that is under God. We release the angels of heaven to go forth and to war on behalf of this declaration. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will move on the people of this nation to bring opportunity for all citizens to come into agreement with heaven's plan for this nation. We agree that while some trust in chariots and some in horses, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers and declarations. Thank you that we are yours. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we proclaim it. Amen. All right. So those of you who are the ecclesia who want to stand in faith to proclaim this, we are going to proclaim it into the heavenlies. We're going to release this.
Okay. I am a son or a daughter of God.
I am a son of God.
Through Jesus Christ, who is my King.
Through Jesus Christ, who is my King.
I live my life unto God.
I live my life unto God.
And under his authority.
And under his authority.
I am fitly joined to the Church of Jesus Christ.
I am fitly joined to the Church of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus that brings destiny to the world.
The body of Jesus that brings destiny to the world.
And all who will follow Jesus are led by Holy Spirit.
And all who are led by Jesus are led by Holy Spirit.
I declare today that the United States.
I declare today that the United States.
Is called to be a nation under God.
Is called to be a nation under God.
We renounce any proclamation.
We renounce any proclamation.
That we are any other nation.
That we are any other nation.
Than one that is under God.
That is under God.
We release the angels of heaven to go.
We release the angels of heaven to go.
And war on behalf of this declaration.
And war on behalf of this declaration.
We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will move on the people.
We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will move on the people.
Of this nation.
Of this nation.
To bring opportunity for all citizens.
To bring opportunity for all citizens.
To come into agreement.
To come into agreement.
With heaven's plan for this nation.
With heaven's plan for this nation.
We agree that while some trust in chariots.
We agree that while some trust in chariots.
And some in horses.
And some in horses.
We will trust.
We will trust.
In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers.
Thank you. Hear our prayers.
And declarations.
And declarations.
Thank you that we are yours.
Thank you that we are yours.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
We proclaim it.
We proclaim it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, and thanks for listening to this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more resources and to get connected, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.